Have you ever made a decision you later couldn't explain? Or felt an inexplicable urge to act against your better judgment? These aren't anomalies. They're glimpses into a profound truth that Stanford neurobiologist Robert Sapolsky reveals in Determined: Free Will is an Illusion. This isn't some abstract philosophical claim. It's a conclusion drawn from decades of rigorous scientific research showing that every choice we make results from prior causes, our biology, experiences, and environments, none of which we chose. Our decisions are determined by neurons firing in our brains seconds earlier, influenced by thoughts from minutes before, shaped by hormones circulating days earlier, built upon neural connections formed over years, programmed during childhood, and influenced by genes we never selected. It's causes all the way down, like the old woman who claimed the world rested on a turtle, and when asked what that turtle stood on, triumphantly declared, "It's turtles all the way down." This matters profoundly. If we lack free will, can anyone truly deserve praise or blame? Can punishment as retribution ever be justified? And is anyone genuinely entitled to better treatment than others? These questions challenge our most fundamental beliefs about choice, responsibility, and human dignity. That moment when you decide to reach for another cookie? Your brain made that choice seconds before you became aware of it. Neuroscience experiments show brain activity indicating decisions occurs before conscious awareness. Benjamin Libet's 1983 study found the brain's readiness potential preceded conscious awareness by about 300 milliseconds. Later, John Dylan Haynes used fMRI to detect decisions in the prefrontal cortex up to 10 seconds before subjects reported making choices. Critics argue these experiments involve trivial actions that don't represent genuine free will. Yet, when researchers studied more consequential decisions, like bungee jumping, they found similar patterns. The predictive accuracy isn't perfect. Haynes's studies achieved only 60% accuracy. But the pattern is clear. What we experience as conscious choice is largely a post hoc narrative explaining actions already set in motion. This raises profound questions about consciousness. Are we merely passengers experiencing the illusion of control while unconscious processes drive our behavior? And if decisions are made before we're aware of them, what happens to moral responsibility? We cherish stories of people overcoming obstacles through grit or wasting talents through laziness. These narratives reinforce our free will myth, that while innate attributes are determined, behaviors like perseverance are freely chosen. This distinction collapses when examining willpower's biology. Your prefrontal cortex, PFC, enables self-control by overriding habitual responses. It doesn't fully mature until your mid-20s, allowing environmental influences to shape its development for years. Your character results from uncontrollable biology interacting with uncontrollable environment. Dopamine signals in your PFC determine temptation strength. Stress, hunger, fatigue, and subliminal inputs affect PFC function without your awareness. Depression causes PFC atrophy. Childhood abuse produces smaller PFCs with less gray matter. By 4 weeks of age, socioeconomic status already predicts differences in PFC development. What feels like freely chosen willpower is actually the outcome of biological and environmental factors you never selected. Whether you showed determination or surrender to temptation, these are results of PFC functioning shaped by forces beyond your control. When determinism seems too rigid to explain human behavior, many turn to chaos theory, emergent complexity, or quantum physics to rescue free will. But this approach misunderstands a crucial distinction. Unpredictability isn't the same as freedom. Chaotic systems remain completely deterministic despite being difficult to predict. The weather follows physical laws even when forecasts fail. Similarly, emergent complexity, like ant colonies building sophisticated structures without blueprints, arises from simple elements following deterministic rules. The brain develops through similar principles, with neurons following chemical gradients without central planning. Quantum physics introduces genuine indeterminism at the subatomic level, but this creates two problems. Microscopic quantum effects get lost in the brain's warm, wet environment, and even if quantum indeterminism influenced behavior, it would introduce randomness, not rational choice. As philosopher John Searle noted, the hypothesis that some of our acts occur freely is not at all the same as the hypothesis that some of our acts occur at random. Neither chaos, emergence, nor quantum physics provides the escape hatch for free will that many hope for. Our behavior remains determined by causes, even when those causes form complex, unpredictable patterns. Does rejecting free will lead to immorality? This fear proves unfounded. Studies show that temporarily reducing belief in free will doesn't consistently affect ethical behavior. Predominantly atheist Scandinavian countries with more deterministic worldviews actually demonstrate better health outcomes, lower poverty rates, and less antisocial behavior than more religious countries. What determinism changes is our understanding of responsibility. Throughout history, we've recognized biological bases for conditions once attributed to moral failings. Epilepsy evolved from demonic possession to a neurological disorder. Autism shifted from refrigerator mothers to a neurodevelopmental condition. PTSD transformed from cowardice to a legitimate neurological response. This pattern demonstrates we can subtract blame while improving society. Understanding the biological basis of traits relieves self-blame. People with ADHD describe the liberation of realizing, "I have a neurodifference." Those with various disorders find validation in medical explanations rather than moral judgment. Sapolsky condemns America's cult of meritocracy that judges worth by achievement while ignoring how circumstances shape outcomes. He concludes there is no justifiable deserve. No human is less worthy of consideration. We already understand how childhood trauma increases antisocial behavior, how birth circumstances affect life expectancy, and how brain function explains decision-making. This knowledge doesn't excuse harmful behavior, but transforms our response to it. Recognizing our lack of free will enhances human dignity. When we understand that no one chooses their biology, childhood experiences, or circumstances, compassion becomes the rational response. This isn't excusing harmful behavior, but acknowledging that punishment as retribution makes no logical sense. This perspective frees us from toxic self-blame. The person with obesity can view their condition as resulting from genetic and environmental factors, not moral failure. The child with ADHD can see their difficulties as neurological differences. The addict can approach recovery without the shame that often triggers relapse. It also transforms our view of success and failure. If the differences between a university graduate and a garbage collector largely reflect factors neither controlled, extreme inequality becomes harder to justify. We can recognize achievement while maintaining humility about its origins. Determinism doesn't rob life of meaning. It redirects us to what truly matters. Instead of focusing on what people deserve, we can create conditions that help everyone flourish. Rather than retribution, we can emphasize rehabilitation and harm reduction. Instead of judging worth by achievement, we can recognize the inherent dignity in every person. Understanding determinism leads to greater compassion, more effective solutions to human problems, and a society that measures success by how well it cares for everyone.